Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall. Hello? Hello? Testing? Can you hear me? Testing. Can you hear me? Can you...
Yes, I can hear you, Clem Fandango.
All right. Just checking. Rude. So, anyway, today we dip our toes, or rather our ears, into the world of unheard words, deftly delving into the dulcet depths of diminishing decibels, descending into the diminuating sonic diaspora as we crane our heads to listen closely for the faint sounds of Uncle Will's quill as he triumphantly trumpets into existence, with much fanfare, the word inaudible.
And there was much rejoicing.
Now, the word audible had been pinging around with cacophonous commonality since around the 1520s, a good 80 years before Uncle Will would pen his tale of relentless pursuits, dubious consent, where happily ever after is more aptly described as begrudgingly ever after. As William penned his All's Well That Ends Well, he would have been aware of audible coming from the French, audire, via the Latin, audire, meaning to hear, with the root au, meaning to perceive. But on to our play. The word inaudible makes its grand debut in Act 5, Scene 3 of All's Well That Ends Well, a play that delights in verbal trickery, as well as the art of getting one's way through sheer persistence, problematically for us, not really taking into account whether the object of one's affection consents or not. Inaudible is uttered from the mouth of the ever-dignified King of France, who, having been miraculously cured by Helena earlier in the play, now finds himself presiding over an excruciatingly awkward marital confrontation between her and her reluctant husband, Bertram. As the stage is set, Bertram is summoned, and Helena waits in the wings with a rather profound surprise. The king then remarks on forgiveness.
Well, call him hither. We are reconciled, and the first view shall kill all repetition. Let him not ask our pardon. The nature of his great offence is dead, and deeper than oblivion we do bury the incensing relics of it. Let him approach a stranger, no offender, and inform him so 'tis our will he should.
I shall, my lady.
And then, to set the stage for Helena's grand entrance, and our word, the king continues.
Let's take the instant by the forward top, for we are old, and on our quick decrees the inaudible and noiseless foot of time steals ere we can effect them.
Uncle Will is remarking on time's ability to slip by unnoticed, likening it to an unseen, unheard force that moves past us before we realize its effects. Unlike poor Bertram, inaudible has stood the test of time, proving that while some words are meant to go unheard, this one, paradoxically, has been impossible to ignore. And on a bonus note, as we are talking about inaudibility, the way that we measure that, the decibel, was named in honor of Alexander Graham Bell in 1924. But what does that have to do with Uncle William, you ask? Well, as the telephone titan made his rounds demonstrating his newfangled invention, he would apparently test the connection by reciting, "To be or not to be." I'm sorry, I didn't get that. To be or not, what was the question? Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare Full Circle is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by the generous support of the Cowie Family Charitable Trust and Michelle and Kelvin McElwain. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc and wherever you get your podcasts.